Receive the word today. Amen. God is so good. Why don't you stand up for a minute and stretch, and we'll do a quick prayer and we'll get going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this morning we have the opportunity to be together and to hear your word. Well, I pray, Lord, that every ear would be open, every eye would see the things that you're speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, this morning, we're continuing our sermon series on we won't bend, bow, or burn. And Pastor Jacques has been speaking on that, and in reference to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And so this morning, as we continue, I want to speak on a subject that you won't hear much in church, but it's a powerful, powerful revelation. If we get it, we can go to new levels in God. How many want to go deeper into the things of God? And so this morning, we're going to be speaking about the fear of the Lord. And it's something that if we understand what it is and we live in the fear of the Lord, we'll have an amazing spiritual life. Amen? In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, there's three men standing up to the king's decree. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Now, he was asking them to bow down. All of Babylon had to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And so here's three Jewish men. I sometimes wonder how many believers were in Babylon at the time. There was a lot of Jews that were there. And they decided to bow down before the statue to save their lives. But three men, and maybe Daniel was on vacation, I don't know. But the other three guys refused to bow down. Because when you fear God, you will fear no man. The Bible says the fear of the Lord brings confidence. It brings strength. And so they stood and they said, I don't care, King. We are not going to bow down before you because we honor and serve our God. Amen? And so they refused to bow. And so Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 to 25, it says this. We'll bring it up on the big screen. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste. Because what happened was the three guys were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they didn't burn. And look what it says. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so because they chose to fear God over man, Jesus stood with them. Amen? In the fiery furnace. And so that's what we're going to learn about this morning, is what is the fear of the Lord? In Daniel chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, we see here the next passage. Therefore, this is Nebuchadnezzar, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made of ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so when you choose to fear God over man, Jesus will stand with you in your fiery trials. And not only that, is that he will promote you, and you'll be able to change the spiritual climate of your community. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants the church not to understand the fear of the Lord. And so we're going to learn about it this morning. And so, we need to understand what it is. First of all, we need to understand what it's not. The fear of the Lord is not a natural fear. It's not a fear that you're afraid, okay? It's not something we can understand naturally. It's a spiritual thing. Number two, it's not a tormenting fear. It's not demonic. You don't sit there in fear and trembling in the sense that you're afraid of something. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So God has not given us fear. All right? I'm taking you guys through a lot of scriptures today, so we'll just keep looking at the board there. 1 John chapter 4, 18 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Okay? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so we're not talking about being afraid. See, God doesn't want you to be afraid of him because you're his son and his daughter. But the New Testament is full of the fear of the Lord. So we need, if God doesn't want us to be afraid of him, what is he talking about when he uses the word fear? Okay? So we're going to look at that together. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God is speaking to Abraham, and he says these words. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham," or Abram, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So God is saying to Abraham, don't be afraid of me. Okay, so I'm not preaching here that you need to be afraid of God because you're his beloved child, you're his daughter, you're his son, and we're in a relationship with Abba Father. So that's not what we're talking about. The Hebrew word for this word fear, when God says don't fear me, is actually the word yare. Say yare with me. The word yare means to frighten or to be made afraid, to be put in fear. So God is saying, don't be afraid of me, Abraham. But then Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we'll go to the next chapter or verse here. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this word fear is not yare, it's actually yara in the Hebrew, yara. This means moral reverence or to stand in awe. And so what the church needs to come back to is a place of moral reverence, where you just, God is awesome. And you stand in awe. You know, I met a Jewish, when I was going through Bible school, Messianic Jew, became a good friend of mine. His name was Walter Herdman. He had his little cap on, and he had a big white beard, and he loved the word. And we would read the word together, and he would weep as he read the word. He said, I just can't believe how much God loves me. And he was so passionate about God's word, he would hold it to himself. And he was just so passionate about the word of God that when I sat with him, it rubbed. I'd start weeping when I read the word of God, because when I realized the sacrifice that God made when he sent his son to die for me, the most precious thing in the universe, God sacrificed for me. And I stood in such awe and reverence, it caused me to depart from evil because I recognized the price and the beauty and the awesomeness of our God. The Bible says God is holy. Holy means he's set apart. There's none like him in the universe. There's no one else like our God. And he has chosen us. And I would stand in awe. And he said, would you like me to pray that you will understand the fear of the Lord? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And so he prayed. And for 2 weeks, I trembled. There's a God. And it wasn't a fearful tremble. It was just a trembling at the awareness of the God of the universe who created the galaxies, who with the word spoke into existence, everything that is, that he has taken up residence in my heart. There was such a reverence for God, it caused me to depart from iniquity. It caused me to run from sin because I wanted to be close to this God and I wanted to reverence him. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? And so God is calling his church back to a place of awe. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Some Christians don't believe that we need the fear of God as New Testament saints. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter says to the New Testament church, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Amen? And so we need to fear the Lord. We have to stand in awe of his majesty and his holiness, and it will change us. Amen? Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they had such reverence response to the word of God that they said, we won't even be defiled by the food of Babylon. We honor the traditions of our God and our people. We have such reverence for our Lord that when the chief eunuch came and said, we're going to feed you pork, and we're going to feed you wine, and we're going to feed you all this, they said, no. Our God has asked us to eat a certain diet. Therefore, we're going to eat that diet because we honor God. Does that make sense? And he said, and the chief eunuch said, well, I'll lose my life if you get skinny, if you don't progress. And the king finds out I'm feeding you vegetables. You'll be. And they said, no. We don't care. And God honored them. Amen? And so God is calling us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we're going to be like that in this end day, we have to understand what the fear of the Lord is. Amen? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. I'm telling you, when you fear God, you can draw a line in the sand. You say, this is where we stand. Sin is sin. Righteousness is right. You know you have confidence in your God. You know right from wrong. You're able to, you know, stand before kings. Amen? The Bible says in the New Testament, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw the disciples come out after they were baptized in the upper room, they said, these men have been with Jesus because they have authority. Amen? And they saw that in their lives. Amen? Genesis chapter 31. Verse 42. Let's look at that for a second. Is anyone getting notes this morning? I'm not going too fast for you. If I'm going too fast, just say, slow down, Pastor. Okay. Unless the God of my father, this is Jacob speaking, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a little boy and my father was laying me on the altar and had a knife, I would be pretty afraid of God. I mean, but I don't think it was a fear because Isaac laid down his life and he realized he had a revelation. My dad is about to take my life. And all of a sudden, God shows Abraham. He shows, Abraham, the lamb in the thicket. And he has an understanding that God is going to do the same thing. He's take his only son and sacrifice him for the sins of the world. Isaac experienced what Jesus experienced for a brief moment. As he laid on that altar and his father was about to take his life, he had the same feelings in him that Jesus would have on the Mount of Gethsemane as he said, Lord, if you could take this cup away from me. So Isaac said, I understand the fear of my God. And he said, he called God his fear. Amen? This is what he did. Now look at, we'll move on in Genesis chapter 31, verse 53. And the reason why I'm giving you so many scriptures this morning, which you should be jotting down, is because, you know, this is a doctrine that's not taught a lot in the church. I want to show you it's in the Bible all the way through, okay? Is everyone good with that? Again, he's speaking, Jacob, he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And he was speaking about him and his uncle. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Amen? And so we see that. And I want to say this, is what you fear is your God. If you fear a man, they're your God. Right? You fear sickness, it's your God. If you fear, you know, if you fear things, that's what you put your focus on. That's where your awe is. That's your God. But if your awe is in Jesus and in the Father, that's your God. Amen? How's everybody doing? Good, good. Nobody sleeping yet? All right. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, this is speaking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah that's about to come. This is a prophetic revelation of him before he came to the earth. Now, look what it says. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and his branch shall grow out of the roots. Now, this is speaking of Jesus, right? Look what he says. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord speaking of the person that speaks, okay? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. You see that? So this is a sevenfold Spirit of God. Now go to the next verse, Isaiah 11, verse 3, and it says this. It says, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord, And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. So if Jesus' delight is in the fear of God, don't you think it should be ours? Amen? And I think if Jesus said, my delight is in the characteristic of the Holy Spirit that reveals the fear of God, that means it's pretty important. Isn't it? Amen. So I want to teach you, how many would like to learn how to receive the fear of the Lord? Amen? Is that my phone ringing? Okay, all right. Because I have the same ringtone, I'm thinking. Okay, all right. Psalms chapter 34, verse 11 and 13. Okay, it says, come you children, listen to me. Okay? Psalms 34, 11 and 13. Come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord needs to be taught. It's not something that you really need to be taught in. It's taught by God the Father. Okay? Who is a man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. A sign that someone has reverence for God is they watch their tongue. Amen? They don't speak deceit. And they keep their tongue from evil. That is a sign that someone fears God. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have the reverence for God in your life, it'll come out in your words. Amen? The next point I want to make is that God teaches you, but the next point is this. You need to choose the fear of the Lord. It's a choice. You have to choose. Many of you can walk into this place and say, you know what, I just want the love of God. And I just want the grace of God. This fear thing, I just don't want. You have to choose it. Amen? Let's go to the next. I'll prove it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 and 29. Because I called you and you refused. Okay? Now, remember, this is the Lord speaking. And it's probably not speaking to believers because we haven't refused him. Amen? But look what he says here. I've called you, you refused. I've stretched out my hand, no one regarded. Because you've disdained all my counsel, I don't want any counsel from God, you'd have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. Can you imagine God would say that? I will mock when your terror comes, and when your terror comes like a storm, and your descendants and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. You can't separate knowledge and fear. You did not choose the fear of the Lord. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. People who depart from evil, that means they have reverence of God. They stand in awe of the Lord. Amen? And so, when I say the word fear, I want you to say reverence and awe. Okay? So where do we get awesome from? There needs to be a revelation of the awesomeness of God. You know, when I studied revival history in the past, many of the great revivals that happened where whole communities got saved and the bars and taverns shut down. And what happened was people would come into the church. Someone would start preaching. They'd have someone up doing worship. And people would just get so caught up in God that time disappeared. And they're caught up in his presence. And they thought they were there for an hour. But they look at the clock and they've been there for 6 hours and didn't even know it. Because when you're caught up in the presence of God, how many know in heaven there's no time? And you get caught up in God, and next thing you know, it's like you lose track of time. And they would say in those old days, people would come to church, and they'd all be chittery and talking, as most of us do when we're with friends. But after the service, as they left, they would walk. And they used to walk, you know, a mile, 2 miles to get home. They would walk or take their horse and buggy. And you said, you wouldn't hear anybody talk for hours because they were so caught up and so aware of the majesty and awesomeness of God that nobody wanted to talk because it was such a sacred intimacy with God. How many would like that? Don't talk to me. I'm having a moment, please. having a moment, spending time with my Creator. And it's so important, guys, that we get this. My heart breaks because I see within the Christendom, especially within the charismatic circles, there's so many ditches we fall into. If you want to not be deceived, when you listen to teaching, make sure it covers the full counsel of God. When you hear a message, you should hear about the love of God. You should hear about the grace of God, which is, we need the grace of God. We should hear about the fire of God. We should hear about judgment. We should hear about the fear of the Lord. It should be a complete package. And then we'll develop as Christians. Amen? But if you go and all you hear is a message about every week, 80, 90% of the messages are about love, 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 love. Guess what? You're in a ditch. If you're listening to a teacher that all they talk about is grace, 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 you're in a ditch. If you're listening to a teacher, all they talk about is sin, 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 you're in a ditch. We need the full counsel of God. Amen? And that's where my heart is. I just want to see the full counsel of God. I see all these young people coming into churches, going into these hyper-grace churches. It's just grace, grace, grace. And they go to the nightclub, and they get drunk, and they party. And you can't tell if they're a Christian or they're not. And then they come back and say, God's grace covers it. I'm sorry. If you knew the majesty of God, you wouldn't even want to be there. Amen? Hallelujah. It breaks my heart. So what I want to do here as we move on here is I just want to share some of the blessings of the fear of the Lord. Amen? Psalms chapter 25, verse 12, and just jot down the scripture. It says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. So God shares his secrets with those who fear him. He gives you deeper revelations of the covenant of God. I studied revival history. I taught it in Bible seminary. I used to be a professor in Bible school, and I taught revival history. And it was all the people that had a reverence for God, that just loved God with all their... It wasn't... When you fear God, you fall in love with God. It's not a tormenting fear. And so these people loved God and just wanted to spend time with God and read the Bible, and they loved holiness, and they loved righteousness, and they were raising the dead, they were healing the sick, they were getting thousands of people saved, and it's because they had the awe of God in their life. Amen? And so it's so important. And why did they have all those results? Because God showed them his covenant. We understand that Jesus died for our sins and that the Holy Spirit lives within us. But how deeply do we know that? Because God himself will show you, if you choose, the fear of the Lord. Amen? So, number one, the promise that you can attain to is you'll have deeper revelation, and God himself will share his secrets with you. I love that. Because your best friend, how many have a best friend? And they have shared secrets with you because they trust you that they wouldn't share with anybody else. Amen? How many would like to know that God would share secret revelation with you? You know, I heard a pastor that I was talking to, he's actually an evangelist, and he went overseas, and he is actually from the Toronto Airport Church, and he's just... He's in love with God. All he talks about is Jesus. I sit down with some pastors, and they talk. They want to talk about sports, or they want to talk about the ball game or the weather. This guy just, let's just talk about Jesus and what he's doing. And it's almost overbearing. It's like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's awesome. And this guy is so in love with Jesus. He has the fear of God in his life. Him and his son go over to India. I think it was in 2000. When was that tsunami? 2004? Yeah, I was down there in India there, sir, the Sri Lanka or wherever. Anyway, he was there, and the Lord woke him up in a dream and says, you need to get out of here. There's going to be an earthquake, and thousands and thousands of people are going to... So go tell the churches. So God was sharing a secret. Get out of here. Like tomorrow. So he went around to the churches and said, I'm coming, I'm a prophet, and the Lord has told me that there's going to be an earthquake, and many are going to die. You need to get out of here, get to high ground. And they said, oh, you're a false prophet. They kicked him out of the church. He said, son, I don't know, but God has shown me his secret, the secret that he knows that the enemy's going to bring destruction. He got on a plane, took off, and the next day the tsunami hit. And many of the churches, people, Christians in the churches, you know. And so what happened was after that happened, now all the churches are inviting him back. They say, there's a man of God, let's bring him back. He knows the secrets of the Lord. Amen? My aunt, my wife's aunt, Anna Lena fears the Lord. She's a Pentecostal lady that has chosen to go to Africa. The Lord spoke to her to go to Africa and to help people. She's a nurse and a midwife. And she went over there, and she was actually in Rwanda. And how many heard of the movie Hotel Rwanda, where there was that big genocide that came through? And she said she'd be laying in her cot at night, and the Lord would speak to her audibly. They're coming. Get out. Lie in the field. And she'd get up. She'd run out, lie down in the field, and as soon as people would come in with machetes and take the whole village out. And it happened time after time. God shared the secret of what was going to happen because she feared God. Amen? We need to live right. The next promise that comes with the fear of the Lord is you'll have prolonged days. You'll live longer if you fear God. It says here, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. If you fear God, if you have reverence for God, I don't know how much longer, but you'll get longer days. Amen? The next promise, let's move on. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Proverbs 19. Go back one. What was that one? Okay, Proverbs 22, 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You want to be rich? You want to have honor? And you want to have life? It's only by the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Amen? Let's move on. Psalms 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. You'll have no want in life. You'll feel satisfied if you fear God. Amen? I'm just reading scripture to you. Let it just speak to you. Psalms chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, how do you rejoice and tremble at the same time? I mean, you can't understand that with your natural mind, but somehow the two go hand in hand. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's like you're aware of God's awesomeness, which causes you just to tremble in his presence, but you feel joy and comfort at the same time. How many have ever experienced that? It's an awesome place to be in. Well, I don't believe God does that anymore in the New Testament. Okay, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches through all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord. This is New Testament, saints. This is not, you know, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. And so the fear of God comes when you get the revelation of the holiness and the majesty and the glory and the perfection of God. You realize how dirty and sinful you are, and you feel ashamed, and you feel the glory of God come. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and says, okay, I'm covering your sins. Jesus took away your sins. And all of a sudden you feel comfort. You're like, oh, God, you're so awesome. And you accept me as sinner. I will serve you for the rest of my day. And I'll deal with these sin issues in my life because I am in awe of you. Amen. Does this make sense to anybody in here? How many believe we need this in the church? Amen. And what happened was there was multiplication. We want to see multiplication in the church. We need the fear of the Lord. Amen. One more New Testament scripture and then we'll sum it up very shortly here. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 19. And again, I'm sorry for all the scriptures, but I feel that the Lord was saying, bring him through the Bible. Amen? We're going through the Bible this morning. So, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 19. Again, this is the Apostle Peter speaking to the New Testament church. But as he who called you is holy, the word holy means set apart and separate, you also be set apart and separate in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. For, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now that word fear actually means in moral reverence and to stand in awe of God. It's not tormenting fear. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we cherish the blood of Jesus. That's how, if you don't understand the fear of God, which is the beginning of knowledge, you cannot understand the preciousness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying this morning? So how do we get it? How many want to know how to get the fear of God? And I'll end with this. There's one scripture. Do you have a question back there? I'm just teasing you. Okay. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 5. And we're going to close in a minute here. Okay. This is how we get the fear of the Lord. Okay. Actually, just jot down the scripture. And then we'll put up the PowerPoint. PowerPoint and go to the second slide. There's only two of them. Go to the second one. Because I want to pull this apart for you here. Okay. How many are enjoying this morning? Amen. Okay. Okay. So we'll make that big somehow. Yeah, just click on it. Maybe it'll come up. Just click on the slide there, number two. Or go up to slideshow at the top. See slideshow up in the very top? No, right up the top. Over to the right. Like, click on that. And then go to the beginning. Okay, now go to the next slide. There we are. So how to get the fear of God, and it's in Proverbs 2, 1 and 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. You have to receive God's word, and you have to treasure the word. So many people, and there's been times in my Christian life where I just read the Bible flippantly. I don't know if any of you have been there, but you just read it because you're supposed to read it. But if you choose to... And by the grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you treasure God's word and say, this is valuable to me. If you treasure this, okay, number one. Number two, incline your ear to wisdom to be teachable, okay? In Japan, China, places like that, they have reverence for their teachers. They go to school and they come with their book and they bow down and they bow their ear and they listen to what the teacher says. There's a sign of respect. And so if we're teachable, when the Lord speaks to us through the word, and we incline our ear to say, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. That's the second thing we have to do. Number three, then you need to apply your heart to understanding. You have to say, I want to really understand what God is saying and pursue it. You know, people say this is a lot of works. Not necessarily because, you know, you're saved by grace. You're going to heaven. This isn't about your eternity. It's talking about making a choice to go deeper with God. I don't understand how people can spend, you know, years and years and years in school to get a career. Or spend lots of time watching sports or doing sports, and that, and they invest their energy into that, but they can't invest their energy into spiritual things? I mean, come on, guys. Apply your heart to understanding. Number four, cry out for discernment, which means you need to have passionate prayer. Just passion. Say, God, I want this thing. Number five, pray for understanding. And then six, search for wisdom like it's treasure. These are the things that are wrapped up in that verse. If you were out on a treasure hunt looking for gold, you would look until you found it. And God says we need to be like that with his word. Say, search for it. See, the whole message about the fear of the Lord, there was lots of scriptures I brought up here about the fear of God that how many have not really seen before because you weren't looking for it. But as we search the word, we see the beauty of the fear of the Lord. Amen? And it says here, then, I'm going to read it from the beginning. My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, if you incline your ears to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You cannot have the knowledge of God without the fear of God. You cannot. And that's really bad because some churches say the fear of the Lord is Old Testament. And they robbed themselves from the knowledge of God. Amen? The knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord cannot be separated. Amen? So when I say the fear of the Lord, you say awesome reverence. Say it together. Fear of the Lord is awesome reverence. And you know how it comes? It comes... By the Holy, it's one of the seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we don't want to deny that. We want to just allow him. So I really feel as we end, we got to do Our God is an Awesome. What was that song we did, the first song? What was that? It was a perfect song for today. Awesome. So if we can have the worship team come, and I'm going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace. None of us are worthy of you, Lord. We've all messed up in the past, and we need Jesus. And it's all you, and we thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we would pursue you, and we would understand the fear of the Lord. How many here would say this message spoke to you, and you did, and now you're saying, the fear of the Lord seems pretty interesting, and I want to have it in my life. Lift your hands right now. And awesome, that's great. Let's stand together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then we're going to sing this song. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive all that you have for me. Teach me the fear of the Lord, so that I might stand like Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego and refuse to bow against my conscience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As we're worshiping, I just really feel strong. I would like, the Bible says in James that if somebody's sick, have the elders of the church anoint them with oil. I want to have Marg and Neil come, and Pastor Jacques and Sharon. There's if you have any, you want prayer for anything, if you need prayer for health or emotional health or whatever, we're going to pray with you as the song's going on. I also felt really strongly that we needed to anoint Bianca. Awesome what God has done. We're going to believe today that even that everything's completely gone. We're going to anoint you and believe in faith. Amen. So let's go ahead. Let's do it.
Our God is an awesome God. awesome God he reigns, from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. He's shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. In the year of Jubilee, for out of silence will salvation come. So
we just want to release you. You can go and go for coffee till 12:45. That's how much time you have. God bless.